Think we got it now. We gotta get a power increase, and we should get a better release. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM. It would be so awesome. Everybody would hear us.
Welcome. You're listening to WMFO Medford. My name is Pam. I have Joel here with me.
Hello. How's it going? Oh, my God. Yes, we're into repeats.
All the repeats. From yesteryear and for tomorrow year, because we're time travelers.
That's right.
At least I am.
No, you are totally traveling
along?
Through time and space.
I like it.
I've already been there, and I will be again.
And you will be again.
That's right. That's the great thing about time travel.
These are all the facts that we're providing to you. So tonight on The Town with Mikey D, the music we'll be performing for you, or playing for you rather, will be of the pre-recorded variety, unless I can convince you to warble something for us, which I have a feeling
la,
you will.
La la la
la la la. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it.
Yeah.
However, what we do have is you. Me, we have Joe Turner coming in to talk
about
a show he's performing tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at the Cantab, Seven Levels.
Love the Cantab. And we also, you know, we have some new music. We have some slightly older music. We have something that's especially hot and fresh.
As of yesterday.
As of yesterday. Do you want to tell the studio audience a little bit about this?
We're going to set this up. Sure. First of all, hi, I'm Joel. Usually on the other side of the glass. I'm not usually in this room. It smells really nice in here. But you know, I'm also one half or one third or one quarter, depending on what day of the week, of the band Butterscott. And we just recorded the very last song, the very last new song for the new Butterscott album, which is called the somewhat disappointing Contractually Obligated Follow-Up. And we are going to be playing it at Jacques on the 16th with one of my favorite bands, Gigantic Ant. And we're also looking for a third band, somebody wacky that likes playing as Jacques, hopefully.
Mm.
So if any of you want to play a gig at Jacques, let's talk about that.
Ideas.
But yeah, we want to thank John Surrett, who he's been booking Jacques as long as I've known John, and very excited that he's asked us to play again. But we are pretty much finished recording the album. So now it's just a matter of sending it off to be finished. Well, we still have a couple of little bits and pieces to do.
Little tweaks. And you've made a couple videos for this album, is that right?
Not for this album.
Okay.
We made videos for the last album.
Are you going to make more videos? I love your videos, Joel.
We have fun with the videos. And actually, I'm dropping character just for you, Pam, because
sorry.
Usually... Because we changed the names of the people in the band to protect their reputations. For we don't want anybody to get blackballed because they played in Butterscott at the Cantab on Friday the 16th.
Blackballed so, by Butterscott.
Because contracts and managers and all this crazy stuff that musicians have to go through because they're musicians. They need the guidance. They need people to tell them what to do and when to do it. That's why they have managers and accountants and all that. That's all it is, really. It's just somebody to take your money and to tell you where to go and what to do.
I would be more than happy to tell people where to go and what to do.
Hey, so would I. The money's fantastic. Because as a musician, I don't have any.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Exactly.
But Blackballed by Butterscott, I feel like, should be the title of your tell-all novel.
Well, we are working on that. It's funny.
Okay.
Funny that you should say that. My goal...
Tell-all novel.
My goal has always been to do some kind of Butterscott documentary. And the two people that I wanted to do it have sadly effed off and moved to L.A.,
yeah.
As you do.
As it happens.
It seems to be a thing, it's a thing. For some people it's a midlife thing. For some people it's that last gasp of the golden spotlight, the golden ticket. Ah, Gene.
Golden ticket.
The golden ticket. I'm sad. Anyway, but yeah, I really wanted Michael and Sophia to do the Butterscott documentary. It might still happen.
It will,
you never know.
I feel like Los Angeles is a great place to film such a documentary.
Los Angeles is full of weird people, which is why it's a...
And tacos.
And tacos.
All the tacos.
I kind of want all the tacos. You know, I do too. It's always so much better on paper than it is in reality. I mean, have you ever eaten at Fat Burger?
No.
Oh my God. I ate at Fat Burger in L.A. My first visit to L.A., I wanted to go to Fat Burger because I'd never heard of a place called Fat Burger. I'm like, well, then it's got to be burgers. And you know that horrible stick song that came out in the 80s? Hey, everybody, it's music time. And
no.
Dennis DeYoung tried to keep Styx going after Tommy Shaw said, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Is the cadence like that too? Hey,
yes.
Everybody,
yes.
it's music time.
It's a horrible, horrible little
wow.
tune.
Right.
There's one line in it that Dennis DeYoung says, it's like, I like fast foods, the burgers taste the same to me. Well, if you go to any of these burger joints in L.A., Fat Burger, Whataburger, In-N-Out Burger, they all taste the same. They're all prepared the same way. They all taste the same, absolutely the same. I was really sort of hyped for it, and then I got it. I'm like, ah, man, now I understand the Styx song.
Do you think it's a grand vegan conspiracy to get people to stop eating burgers? Just make them all taste the same?
No, I think the vegans have had their own kind of conspiracy brewing for a while. I mean, what I don't understand, it's like, okay, if you eschew... If you eschew stuff that's made with animal products,
mm-hmm.
and all this other stuff, then why is the vegan equivalent? Why do you make vegan things that taste like the things that you're not supposed to eat? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It really just makes no sense. It's like, well, let's have a sausage patty that's made with tofu but tastes just like sausage. Well, isn't the idea to get away from that stuff and to have an alternative lifestyle? You don't need things that taste like the things that you miss. And if you miss them that much, then, you know, then you're not making the right choice. That's what I'm saying. Because bacon.
Yeah.
Really? Bacon. That's all I have to say. Because
that's one word bacon. Response. Yeah.
When people ask me why I'm not vegan, I say because bacon.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what it is.
I'm probably the one person in the world that does not like bacon.
Oh, my God.
I don't like bacon.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
That's okay. Okay. Well, you know. Anyway, so back to the butterscotch thing. Yeah. So, you know, what people don't realize is that, you know, we've built this mythos around the band. And you know, a lot of it is fiction. Some of it's true. You know, some of it's true. But we're not telling you which bits are true and which bits are fiction. You're just going to have to figure it out.
Like all of my favorite bands.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we'd gotten together and did a reunion back in 2011 or 2012 at this point. And we've made three albums in this time. The first one was kind of like the Monkees' headquarters. We're all getting back together and playing the tunes as we are, as the band. Nobody liked that record. Nobody bought it. So we put out the something commercial pop thing.
Yes.
The slick overproduced commercial pop
thing. Yes.
And that was just so that we could get the studio tracks that we had that had Mikey D on it. In point of fact, WMFO has always been good to Butterscotch. A lot of that has to do with, in no small part, to Mikey D's involvement in the band. And that's one of the reasons why we kept the band going and we brought the band back together. And you know, plus all the friendship. We're friends. I mean, we all hate each other. Absolutely, without any shadow of a doubt. There's no way that we can be seen in the same room together, but we really love each other and we hate each other at the same time.
That's what friendship's all about.
It's the dichotomy that has made bands great for decades. So this third album, the somewhat disappointing contractually obligated follow-up, goes in the sequence that that I thought, you know, we're using Mission of Burma as the model for our reunion. Mission of Burma, we're a great band, untouchable. I mean, everybody still speaks about the band in reverent whispers, as well they should. Great local Boston music band. And when they got back together, they didn't rest on their laurels. They didn't just go out and play the hits. They did a completely new album that was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was okay. And then they put an album out after that that was amazing. And then the third album was just, you know, sauce for the goose, man, because they'd already, you know, reunited. They put out two great albums. It doesn't matter the third album wasn't great. It was, as a matter of fact, but they didn't care. It was great. So this is our not caring. I mean, you know, the record label put a bunch of money behind us, and they're determined to keep releasing albums until 15 years after we've died. That's their goal. So we decided, okay, well, let's do this. And this particular song, we're getting back to this. Honestly, I've gone on a tangent. Are you really sure you want me to co-host this show?
Because the great thing is that I feel like we're floating out in space, and you know those the astronauts who are in their space suits, you're connected by some kind of cable.
That's right.
And it's like I'm kind of pulling on that cable a little bit, and you're kind of floating a little bit towards the sun.
Just like Dr. Smith in the opening sequence to Lost in Space.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Oh, the pain. So little story about this song. And one of the reasons why we wanted to have this song close the album. And this is probably the only time it will ever get played on the air until the album comes out.
I'm very excited and honored.
Yes. So, you know, whenever you see a classic rock band, okay, and they've got all these, you know, this whole cachet of hits and singles and popular songs, you know, a lot of the casual fans want to hear them play the stuff. If you go to see the Stones, you want to hear Start Me Up. You want to hear Satisfaction. You don't want to hear whatever the new single is. You just don't. And I noticed that when I saw McCartney a couple of years ago, By the way, guy's in his 70s. He's still rocking. That is some good stuff right there. And, you know, but he played one of the new songs from the album New, which is actually not a bad McCartney album, as McCartney albums go. But I'm in the nosebleed crap seats up in the third balcony, whatever, looking down. I don't even have a view of the stage from the front. You know, I'm basically looking at the television monitors.
Yeah.
And it costs us $300. That's McCartney.
And ouch.
So anyway, he played one of the new songs, and it was like that really cool one with the ukulele. You know which
one? Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it? You look down, and you know from where I was sitting, I didn't have a great view of the stage, but I had a great view of the audience. That's when everybody went to the concession stand and to the bathroom, and so I kind of had a phone call with John, and these are how a lot of Butterscotch songs get written. You know, I'll talk to John, and you know, it's almost like a Seinfeld bit. You know, before he had his TV show. Did you ever notice that? Whenever a band plays a new song, you know, especially a classic established band, they all go to the bathroom or the concession stand. I mean, they may as well just call the song "Might as Well Go and Have Yourself a Beer." You may as well call the song that. Don't even bother titling the song. Just title the song "Go to the Bar and Have a Beer." And of course, the wheels were turning, and we've been sitting on this idea now for about a year and a half. And so we finally, when Butterscotch makes a record, basically John comes in with a big pile of notebooks about all the stuff that he writes down. He makes observations, writes stuff down. He writes lyrics. Sometimes we have a conversation on the phone. He'll write down the conversation. He doesn't remember anything, so he's got these notebooks to remind him of you know what time to get up and take his pills. So. Basically, you know, we had this idea floating around, and we wanted to get to all these other ideas because, like, every time we get together, he's like, "Oh, I wrote a new song," and I'm like, "Oh, great! Well, let's screw what we were going to do today and just do the new song." And usually, that's gold. It's pure gold. Butterscotch's been nothing but a great thing. I'm so glad that we decided to resurrect the band. Now, if we could just get people to show up at our gigs and not leave when we play the new stuff. So that's what this song's about. Might as well go and get yourself a beer was the working title, but we just thought new song kind of said it all. And this is the song that will close the album, except for the hidden bonus tracks, which there will be lots of them. Basically, the whole idea is this is a contractually obligated record. So we decided to give the record label a 5-song EP with a bunch of bonus tracks. So it'll wind up being like 70 minutes.
I love it. I love it. So this is Butterscotch with... New song.
New song.
Enjoy.
beer. And get a beer. We'll be right back.
Get that guy a cough drop. Trophy Lungs with their song Day Jobs off their album Day Jobs. Petty Morals, Just a Game, prior to that off Marked Women. Caspian, Some Are White Light off The Four Trees. And we started off with a brand new song called New Song.
New Song.
From Butterscott.
Yes.
Off their somewhat disappointing contractually obligated follow-up album.
That's right. Because, you know, there's always one. There's always one in the catalog for every band.
Well, I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yay.
And I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad that you're here listening to us on WMFO Medford. This is On the Town with Mikey D. My name is Pam. Joel, our fearless leader, is joining me as a kind of co-host.
The honor is totally mine.
I twisted his arm just a little bit.
She did, a little bit. It hurts.
And speaking of arm twisting, we twisted someone else's arm.
Yes, oh my God, there was a lot of arm twisting.
And got this lovely gentleman in, Mr. Joe Turner.
Hello.
Of Joe Turner and the Seven Levels.
Thank you so much.
Not
for
three,
having
not four, not five, not six, but seven. And Joe, you and your band are performing tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, Club Bohemia downstairs at the Cantab.
With the delightful Mickey Bliss.
Yes, absolutely.
Without any further ado.
Always at the soundboard.
He's a sweet man.
Absolutely. And always very sharply dressed. I have to give that to him that, you know, he's got that suit and tie look down. Perfect.
And nobody else at the Cantab actually dresses like
that. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I feel like, oh man, I showed up underdressed again. So, but yes, along with us is Patrick Mongo and the Janky Teeth, and then it'll be us, and then Pompo, who are from
Pompo.
Out in Stowe, apparently, which I associate with apple picking, because there's all those orchards.
Well, now you can associate it with Pompo.
Pompo. Now
Pompo.
Now I have to listen to them while we're going apple picking.
Well, I mean, it's fruit everywhere, because Pompo makes me think of pamplemousse, which is French for grapefruit.
Grapefruit, right.
So I just feel like they're just going to make me healthy, and they can make you healthy.
Or maybe they're just going to pelt people with grapefruits during their set.
That happens also.
Well, you know, it's a case of wasn't aware of either band beforehand, and then, you know, checked them out, of course, who are we going to be playing with, and was like, wow, this is like a show that I'm actually going to want to, like, see these other bands.
That's awesome. And so, Patrick Mongo and the Janky Teeth, this is their first show?
Apparently. That's what I was told. If that's not the case, then I'm a terrible person. But I believe that is the case.
That's awesome. That's an exciting thing.
Absolutely.
And right down in Central Square, which is a great place to see a show.
Absolutely.
And if I understand correctly, now, Girls Get Drugs for Free is your latest album, but there's a forthcoming album.
Yep. Well, it's an EP. We're going to do some vinyl because the options are vinyl. The options are there.
Vinyl.
And people are buying
it. It's what kids crave.
It's, yeah, you know, it's the hip thing, and I've got to be hip, right? No. It's fun. I mean, I grew up on vinyl, so, you know, and with other bands, when I was in Up and I, we did, you know, vinyl, and that was kind of fun. I just like it. It's fun. It's nice. We have, you know, three pretty reasonably good songs that will fit nicely on it, and especially now, you know, a CD's nice, and online release, you know, is what it is, but like the color options you can get for vinyl now are just like, oh, I want it to look that pretty.
Yeah, plus the artwork. The artwork is 12 by 12.
Yes.
Well, it's frameable. You take it home. You can hold it. You can listen to
Absolutely.
It. It just makes a big difference.
You can fall asleep cuddling it.
It looks awkward as a drink coaster, which CDs.
Yeah, you will never.
CDs are perfectly good drink coasters, but vinyl.
Well, you could put a margarita pitcher on it. But,
actually,
I mean, I wouldn't.
There's
gonna be 10 inches.
There's a guy who goes out and makes candy bowls out of vinyl records.
Oh,
you could do that.
Yeah.
Hard to play though. Hard to play.
Once you've made it into a bowl.
Yeah, ruin your record player that way.
I think everybody of a certain age has probably done the, oh yeah, I left a record on the radiator once. Yep. I ruined a perfectly good 45 of Joined Together by The Who because of just...
And look what happened to The Who because of that.
I know, right
it's
after
all your
that.
Fault.
Oh my God,
Keith
is that
Moon,
like some kind of black magic thing?
It's totally black magic.
Yeah, man, if you like melt three records on a radiator at midnight and then you look in a mirror...
Seriously, yes. I've been listening to this new podcast about all this paranormal stuff, and you're kind of freaking me out.
All right, there
so
we go.
So now I'm afraid of records,
it's
and at
all
the same
true.
Time,
we're channeling the other
no!
world.
You are wearing this very spectacular Kate Bush shirt.
Got a spread.
You got that
speaking
at
of
the
Supernatural.
Show.
It's true.
You got that at the show.
At the show. I got to see her 2 years
show
ago.
Off.
That was.
Yeah.
Got to spread the gospel. You know,
it's true.
Spread the gospel.
True. go and see the Grand Mistress of Rock.
It was the most intense artistic experience I had ever been to. So, and there's actually bits of it now you can find out on YouTube. I'll just say search and you can find it. But it would be nice. They filmed it. It would be nice if the whole thing came out. But
that would be pretty cool.
Yes.
Now, will you have people filming you guys tomorrow night?
You know,
at the Cantab? That, Club Bohemia?
That could be.
It could happen.
We do have, I participated in a Kickstarter for a local film, and one of the perks was, hey, we'll make a video for you. So that's going to happen for sure. And
does that mean I have to wear clothes tomorrow?
Saran wrap, yeah. At least.
Yeah. No,
maybe?
No full body paint. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I had full body paint on the agenda.
All of this is very scintillating.
Very good.
But tomorrow night, doors at 8 o'clock.
And first band on at 8. Patrick Mongo, I think, is right on at 8. We're right
8 p.m., 8 bucks, 3 bands. Joe Turner and the Seven Levels. You're going to want to turn out for this.
Please do.
And turn it up for Joe Turner. See what I did there?
Boom.
Boom. So we're going to play something off the forthcoming 10-inch.
Yes.
So now, this song right here.
Cross your fingers.
Yep.
Boston Rain, I believe, is going to happen any second now.
Hopefully
it's
appropriate.
Technology.
Yes. Technology is your friend.
Technology, I love you. We can do this together.
Double click on it. It'd be fine.
Yay!
Woo! There we go.
I told you it's a definitive ending. It doesn't get more definitive than that.
Milk it, boys. Milk it. Come on.
Joe Turner and the Seven Levels. And we have Joe Turner right here in the studio.
A pleasure.
As well as Joel Simkus, our very own Joel Simkus, who plays on and recorded this.
I was somewhat involved in that process.
Some of the magic work, some of the Willy Wonka, shall we say, behind the album.
Well, you know, I now reserve my Willy Wonka-ness for the bands for Butterscott. Although nobody knows that I'm actually in Butterscott.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
You've seen.
Like, who's this Buzz Syndrome guy? But no, I've been playing keyboards with Joe for 14 years.
Yeah.
Actually, 14 years.
Holy crap.
We worked on Girls Get Drugs. Worked on Girls Get Drugs for free, and then I'm just kind of like, you know what? Yeah, you're on your own, man. But I want to give a shout out to Alex Leacock, who played drums on that on this EP. Sadly, he's no longer with us. He's still alive.
Oh my God!
Let's be very clear here.
Oh my God!
He's not in the band anymore.
We didn't just kill him. He's alive and well.
Actually, you know, it might be a good idea, Joe. I don't mean to guide your interview, but
you're the co-host,
There is a new drummer that's going to be playing with you tomorrow.
Brian Sheehan, who is a fantastic new drummer. He came in and was just
he wrote the songs.
We were shocked.
Just
there was
unbelievably
there was
blown
a wonderful
away.
Moment where Joel and I were like, you know, we're doing the audition, and Joel and I just kind of looked at each other like, whoa, did you see what he just did? Dude! You know, there was whoa moment.
It was really weird because, like, first of all, Joe and I are both drummers.
Yes.
You know, Joe played drums, well, pretty much everything on the first Joe Turner album, which is, what was it called?
Between Two Seconds.
Between Two Seconds, thank you. Yeah.
Sorry.
Memory. I can't remember a
brain?
Single
thing. What is brain?
Two working brain cells. And then, I guested on the first record and helped him out a little bit with the production on the first record.
Because I was clueless.
And then the second record, Girls Get Drugs for Free, we kind of worked on it together, you know, and we had three different drummers on that record. We had Wright Maney, who joined us for about a year from Austin, Texas, and then he decided to move back down to Austin. You know, he's got some children. He wanted to be a daddy and not just a father, and we respect
couldn't
that.
Argue with family. That's
and then we had Adam Goodwin, formerly of the band Permafrost and Miles Death Muffin, and he plays on that.
Yes, yes.
And then he quit rather unexpectedly.
But logistical issues.
He was replaced by a green globule on the thing.
One of those wavy things that you see at the car dealership. No.
And Alex was with us for a while, he did his best to learn the songs, and he had some great enthusiasm. But ultimately, it wasn't the right
by
fit.
His own admission, was kind of like, I'm surprised that you've kept me on.
And we got Brian.
Okay.
I'm going to usurp this moment, Joe.
Go for it, please.
Usurper.
I'll take this moment to drink.
This is the reason why we got Brian. Brian Sheehan had seen me post on Facebook. We'd had a very frustrating audition with a drummer.
I remember
and,
this.
I was sometimes when I get frustrated and angry, I get on the internet.
That's what Facebook
is
for.
Which is really like some one of those things that I should never ever do. And because the person that I was like aiming the criticism towards actually got on there and yelled at me a little bit. I'm like, well, you know, you wasted my time. You know, you came down and you didn't want to be in the band. You didn't know why you were auditioning. So why did you waste our evening and make us come out? You know, we got things to do. You know, I mean,
I could have been home watching Game of Thrones, man.
You know, Netflix, marijuana, masturbation, cooking. Not wearing clothes.
Jigsaw That's just puzzles. The first 5 minutes, I mean, you got home from work. Boom, exactly. Boom, boom,
right.
Boom, boom.
You know,
that's
I
before
mean,
the code
you know,
is
it,
even off.
You know, it's like the moment you walk through the door and put the keys down, it's pants optional, folks. I had things to do. We all had things to do. And, you know, and Joe's like, hey, we got a drummer coming down. You should come down. So we did. And
I'm eternally optimistic.
Yeah,
so.
You know, I mean, you know, and you know, so anyway, so I'm venting.
And I got a private text message from Brian Sheehan. He's like, "Hey, I read your drummer thing. You still looking for a drummer?" I'm like, "I had no idea he'd be interested, because he's a North Shore boy. He lives in Beverly, not too far from where I live." And I was doing some work for him. I was doing some production work. And he had a single. He wanted it mastered. We were going back and forth. We were, you know, starting a little friendship going on. And he saw me venting on the Facebook. That's how we got. That's how he came down.
Negativity works, people.
That's right.
Negativity works.
Venting on the Facebook.
But it can be cathartic, and it can also lead to these kinds of connections, because if you hadn't felt frustrated and let it out publicly, then you wouldn't have wound up with Brian.
And certainly Brian, seeing that, was like, okay, I know kind of the bar that these guys are setting on a certain level.
Yeah.
And that certainly, I mean, he wouldn't have probably,
so,
you know.
Yeah, so he came in, and it was fairly obvious that he did the one thing that no other drummer that we've auditioned has ever done, is actually listen to the freaking songs. Yeah. And he picked up nuances that no other drummer who'd played in the band except for Joe had brought to the table. And you know, obviously Joe was the originally the drummer of the band, and you know, he wanted to step out and be the lead singer, and you know,
there's
as,
only
as
so
you
much
do.
You can kind of, you know, emulate the Dave Clark Five, or
you know, I mean, like, you know, the
singing drummer is a novelty.
Singing drummers are, you know, a kind
the
of
romantics.
A thing.
Were the Romantics look cool?
Well, they had that one song.
Well,
they
and were, the Eagles, but I mean, but now we're referencing the Eagles.
Yes. And we're not even going to talk about Phil Collins. Oop, I just did.
Oh, no.
Whoa. Don't think about a brown cow. Yeah. So there you go.
So
it's awesome. Like, it, you know, having a drummer who is, you know, pro and accurate and has ideas in their head and kind of hears what you might have done and what they can do with it, really, you know, lifts everybody up.
That kind of alchemy.
The rising tide carries all ships, you know, and it made all of us play better. You know,
we immediately upped our game. I think the band sounds better than it has in years, honestly.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, there are many things to do every night of the week, of course, but, you know, if you find yourself thinking about it, I think we sound S-hot, as they say.
Yeah, and you know what?
S-hot.
If pants optional is your thing, you can come to the Cantab pants optional.
The bartender will give you a nasty look, but
he gives everybody nasty
look. Or maybe a really pleasant look. You know, it depends.
That's true, maybe.
Well, not if I'm pants optional. I wear clothes as a public service, Pam.
That's right. Now, is this Brian's first show with you guys tomorrow night?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, that's very scintillating as well.
Absolutely.
That's exciting. Yeah. Now, I have a few more songs, or at least I have another song that I wanted to play, that we wanted to play. It continues a little bit the fruitiness of our conversation previously.
Yes, it does.
Where we were talking about grapefruit. We were talking about apples. Mm. I guess we're going to be talking about strawberries now.
Now you're making me hungry.
Right?
All right.
Little fruit salad at 10 o'clock. Hurt anybody.
I have some fruit salad waiting for me at home.
Do you really?
No joke. So there you go.
Is it vegan fruit salad?
It is not. By the way, I don't know if I don't know if you guys know this.
There's ground beef in there.
I heard you guys talking about the vegan stuff earlier, and I heard recently that now they are making vegan patties that bleed correctly.
I did hear that on NPR.
It's like beet juice or something. Yes.
Why?
Yes. Why? Wait, don't tell me.
The
it was a question on there.
This is exactly what I'm talking
about.
Look, vegans, I love you and I respect you. I went vegan. I dated a vegan. I know the drill. I know what it's about. And but seriously, bleeding.
Yeah.
Vegan food, really? Yeah. Really? I mean, really?
Bleeding beet juice.
Wait a second. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't help but think that was invented, though, by some meat eater who wanted to invent something that would make people angry at vegans, right?
Well,
don't you think that can't be? A vegan did not come up with that idea.
You know, not for nothing.
Probably
it's not that hard to get angry with vegans. With all due respect to my vegan friends,
we love vegans.
Hello to all my
we
vegan
love you vegans. We love you omnivores. We love you pescatarians.
Giants or whatever it is.
Oh my god.
That's where, like, you don't eat anything that doesn't, like, fall from the tree.
Or freegans.
Yeah.
Where you're vegan for everything that you have to purchase. But if food is going free, you'll take it regardless of whether or not there's animal products.
That's pragmatic, actually. It's just a justification for dumpster diving, and we all know that. No joke.
Yep.
Well, let's so we are talking about Joe Turner and the Seven Levels. We are talking about the show that you are playing tomorrow night at the Cantab, at the Club Bohemia.
Bohemia.
Where you can show up pants optional.
Yes. You don't have to wear
pants.
Unless
you're in the band, then you have to wear pants. That's a rule.
Yes.
Just pants, though. Joe Turner and the Seven Levels, Patrick Mungo and the Janky Teeth, and Pompo, all the way from Stowe. Pompo from Stowe.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you want to be there. 8 p.m., $8, Central Square.
$8 cheap.
Be there or be some kind of hexagonal shape that you don't want to be.
A rhomboid.
A parallelogram. Thank you.
Yeah.
Solid, gentlemen. So we're going to play one more song off your forthcoming 10-inch.
Do it.
This right here is Second Strawberry.
Yes, indeed. If your
album sells How did that happen?
I changed my style radically, by the way.
Just click on it.
I get high. It was. What is that?
That's some smooth stuff.
Maybe it's.
Just click on it. Click on it.
All right.
Go click on it. Let me know when you clicked on it.
I double clicked on it.
There we go.
Breathing dust for the fun and excitement. I'm staying straight, but you got enlightenment. The stumble bum sings a song to the wind. Another lost weekend, never wanted to end. In a tent with Enrique and Tina, and cool Diana, she couldn't be meaner.
Second Strawberry right there. From
and straight on till morning.
Yeah, really.
Second Strawberry, what is the title of the forthcoming album?
Probably Boston Rain, I'm guessing.
Which is the name of the first track that we played.
The classic, you know, oh yeah, man, first song, that's the title. There you go. Unless something, you know, comes at me in the middle of the night and I wake up screaming it out in a cold sweater.
It could happen.
Smacked upside the head.
Yes, exactly.
By Joe Turner and the Seven Levels.
There you go.
Yeah.
You go.
Night Terrors by Joe Turner and the Seven Levels.
Happy
it can happen.
Songs. Happy songs.
All the happy songs.
Absolutely.
Now, music is not your only realm. You have multiple realms.
That's true. That's true.
Multiple levels, multiple, as it were.
Very true.
Seven of them.
Seven of them. Well, then I'd have no time to breathe. But yeah, so I've, you know, in between playing in Butterscotch and